Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Today, we are going to be sharing some allegedly true, creepy stories sent in by viewers just like you. Now, these are stories I normally wouldn't read on the channel. They're a bit different from the cryptid and paranormal stuff, but I think they're still entertaining to say the least, and some of them are honestly downright creepy. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Joining me today is my good friend Night Docs. If you enjoy his voice, be sure to check out his channel. You can find his link in the top of the description. Now, let's get into these creepy stories that'll keep you up tonight. This is a pretty short story, but it was a pretty scary experience for me. One day back in late 2018, my sister and mom decided to go to the mall. This mall is located in Lexington, Kentucky, about an hour away, and is always crowded. Not to mention that traffic is always horrible. After arriving, my little sister went off with her friends and my mom went to the Apple store to get her phone fixed. I quickly grew bored after about 10 minutes since I'm a pretty impatient person, so I told my mom I was going to go look in Forever 21. On my way out, I noticed a man staring me down pretty intensely. I thought it was creepy, but I decided to ignore it, until he followed me. I quickly got nervous at this point. He held a phone up to his ear, but he wasn't speaking. He followed me until I went to Forever 21. I waited there for about 15 minutes or so to be safe. I couldn't find anything I liked, so I decided to leave. To my surprise, the man was waiting outside the store and quickly followed me. I was growing more scared by the minute, so I hid in the crowd. He lost me for about a few moments, but somehow noticed me and followed me again, all the way back to the Apple store. I didn't tell my mom what was going on, but I felt safer being around her. The man just stood outside the store staring me down with the most intense look I could. I just can't think I can ever forget that look. It was just so intense and fixated, I can't even explain. I believe he gave up and left eventually when I left the store with my mom. I later realized that pretending to be on the phone is a tactic that most of these people use. A lot of girls are being kidnapped around my state recently, even in grocery store parking lots. People speculate that they're taking these girls and forcing them into sex rings. The scariest thing is that one of those girls could have been me. This may not be scary to others, but I know the experience for me was terrifying. I plan on investing in some pepper spray, so I can at least defend myself somewhat. I'll always be more careful from now on because of that experience.
This is something that happened to me about a month ago. My dog Leo was running low on dry food, and I had just gotten home from work. I was exhausted, and the last thing I wanted to do was leave the comfort of my couch after a long day and make a trip to the grocery store. But I couldn't let my dog go hungry, so I got up, I put Leo in his cage, I got in my car, and I went to the store. While driving, I got a few messages from people, so I parked the car a little further away from the other cars in the parking lot. By the time I got to the store, it was about 11 p.m., and I think the store was about to close soon, so I needed to hurry, but I was just so tired. I just sat in my car, responding to text messages. I watched a couple of YouTube videos on my phone, just trying to wait for a moment I could force myself to get up and go inside just to do what I came to do. Just before I got out of my car, I looked up, and there was a man standing about 50 feet away, just standing, facing towards me. Was he staring at me? What was he doing? I sat in my car and just waited to see what happened next. I had this nagging feeling that this was someone I didn't want to talk to. Something was off. Not only did I have a bad feeling, it was getting worse as he began to slowly walk towards me. I lowered my head, made sure that the doors were locked, and acted like I didn't notice him. Maybe he'd just go away. But no. He walked right up to my side of the car and stopped right outside the window.
"I want to talk to you."
"Don't move. Don't look at him. Just look at your phone. Act preoccupied."
"Hey."
"Something you need to understand about me. I'm genuinely a friendly person who loves people. I love to talk to them. I'm actually a very extroverted and eager to meet new people kind of guy. I have no problem talking to strangers. I've even had a few moments in my life where people came up to me in a similarly strange way. So why was my adrenaline and fear so high right now? If there's one thing people know about people that live in Texas, it's that there's a good chance most people you meet carry a weapon of some kind. But I didn't. I grew up in the North, and I hadn't been exposed to firearms. It's just one of those things that it's been on my mind to get, but I've never really bothered to invest in getting a pistol or anything. I tried keeping an eye on this man in my peripheral view, being careful not to make any eye contact or give him any reason to confirm that I knew that he was there. He stood there for a moment. I thought I saw him make a motion towards the handle on my door, but I can't tell. After a few moments, he slowly kept walking the direction that he had already been walking before. I took a deep breath. I waited about 10 more minutes before I decided to look around to see if the coast was clear. Was he gone? It looked like it. I made one more visual sweep before I opened the door. Time to get that dog food and get the hell out of here. As soon as I closed the door to my car, a gold Saturn came zooming up to me and stopped right at my car. It was the same guy.
"Hey, I want to ask you something about your car."
"My car? My car is nothing special, let me tell you." At this point, I was feeling a combination of fear and anger.
"Dude, if I wanted to talk to you, I would have responded. Now get the hell out of here."
He started to get agitated and started calling me a dick and told me that I was being an asshole. But I was having none of that. If somebody wants to be left alone, leave them the hell alone. He started to drive off, his belts and brakes squeaking in his rickety old gold Saturn as it started to zoom off. Girl that was collecting the shopping carts came up to me as I was trying to walk into the store, and she came up to me and said that she witnessed the whole thing, wanted to know if I was okay. I told her everything that happened, and as I'm speaking to her, he drives right up to me again.
"Hey, asshole, I just wanted to ask you a question."
"Get the fuck out of here, dude. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Now face forward, drive away, and move on."
He called me a prick and drove off. I didn't go inside. I watched him as he drove to the other end of the lot and started slowly circling around the lot. Now I couldn't go inside because I wasn't sure what he was going to do to my car. Finally, he disappeared. I didn't see where he went, but I didn't see him anymore. I asked the girl to keep an eye on things, especially my car. And I just went inside. I needed to get that dog food, so I got it. I texted my brothers and a few other friends to let them know what had just happened, just in case something unexpected came next. I paid for the dog food and walked back outside. He was there waiting for me.
"Hey,"
he began to say.
"Get the fuck out of here! I swear to God I'm gonna call the cops if you don't leave me alone!"
I yelled. His face was twisted with fury and anger. Why was he still coming after me? And why was he particularly so unsettling to me? Didn't matter. Something about him was way off, and I wanted no part of any of it. As he sped off, I kicked myself for not getting his license plate. Was he actually gonna leave? I saw him exit the parking lot, turn right, and drive away down the main road. Was he really gone? I waited a moment, and I talked to the girl that was collecting the shopping carts, who saw everything as well. She hadn't gotten the plate number either. After about 15 minutes, I felt convinced enough that he was gone, and felt like it might be safe to start driving home. Fortunately, there's a gate to my neighborhood with a guard, so he wouldn't have been able to follow me into the neighborhood if he decided to follow me home. I got in my car, and I started to drive home. I was checking my surroundings every few seconds, checking my rearview mirror. A car started closing its distance between us. I froze. Then it turned on its blinker, passed me, and drove off. It wasn't him. I finally made it home. Leo got his food. I got home safely. I don't really know how much danger I was in, if any. And looking back, I still can't really put my finger on what bothered me so much about that guy. But at this point, it is what it is. Whenever I go to that store, I'm always on the lookout, though, for a gold Saturn.
This past summer, I got a job at one of the grocery stores in my area. We have 3 to 4 places to buy groceries from in my town. And this story takes place about a month and a half after I was first hired. I was what is known as a service clerk. Thankfully, I'm now a cashier, which essentially means you do janitorial jobs during the day, such as changing trash bags or cleaning bathrooms. I was assigned to go change the trash bags throughout the store, so I began doing my work, and finally got to one of the 2 entrances we have with trash cans. We frequently have employees standing at either entrance asking for donations for local charities that our store supports. So there was one of the people from customer service there, who we will call Jess. As I began changing the trash at the entrance, Jess and I were chatting, and a woman came up to us. Usually, this will mean a customer has a question about stock or something like that. And if you've ever worked in a large store such as this, you'll know that feeling of not knowing about your stock is more terrifying than any of these stories. However, she did not have any questions about what we had in stock that day. She told Jess and me that there is a man outside the store. Our store is right next to another large store, which will also go nameless, who was sitting on a small step. Our doors to the inside and outside of the store are clear glass, so we both were able to get a good look at him as the woman was talking. He was an African-American male, with a beard, and although it was the middle of July, he was wearing a hoodie, a beanie, and black jeans and large boots. The man was relatively large, but it was hard to gauge his size because of the fact that he was sitting on such a low step. I would put him at around 6'3", though, and probably over 300 pounds and a heavy build. I assumed he was waiting for a ride, but she began to say she knew the man. The woman said she had seen the man a few times in her area. She lived in a local apartment complex, so this is not necessarily uncommon, being a shared living space. He would apparently sometimes sleep in the gazebo located in the park adjacent to the apartments. I finished changing the trash, and we also kept a large trash can right outside, which I would also have to change, meaning I would have to get up close to the man to do my job. Where he was sitting was maybe 15 feet away from the trash can, so he could definitely see me. Jess and the woman kept talking, and I said I would go out and change the trash, and see if the man did anything strange. I changed the trash and heard him talking. He had wired earbuds connected to what looked like a phone, so I assumed he was on the call. I went back inside with my wheeled trash can that had the bags I changed inside, and told the woman in jest that the man was probably on the phone because he had earbuds in, but the woman was still anxious about him being here, and told us another story that freaked Jess and me out. This woman had a tomato patch in her backyard, and planted them every summer with success. The tomatoes grew and she expected to use them in her cooking over the summer. But she was horrified when she says the almost ripe tomatoes were gone from her patch. Some still remained, but many were completely gone. She figured it was an animal. So she stayed up the next few nights to watch the tomato patch to see if anything was taking her tomatoes. She waited in her bedroom and was shocked to see the man running into her garden, taking more tomatoes, and running out. She apparently was too afraid to pursue him, but was extremely scared. Another family in the complex had complained that the man would sometimes sit around at the playground in the area, and obviously, their kids could not play while this man was around. Apparently, he had never said anything to anyone, but would just sit there while talking. After hearing these stories, Jess and I looked to each other with raised eyebrows, and, at least for me, genuine anxiety about this man. The woman had the idea to take a picture of him with her phone, which scared me because if he saw her, I had no idea how he would react. After some talking, I agreed to go outside with the woman and pretend to change the trash again, as she took a photo. I am somewhat lean and lanky build at 6'2", so I tried to hide her behind me since she was very short. She was older and clearly was not too familiar with her phone, and did not even attempt to make it look like she was just using her phone, as she clearly pointed it at the man with two hands and took the pictures. She quickly went back inside and Jess took her to customer service to see if they could do anything, and I waited outside to make sure the man did not try anything on any customers or anything like that. I also made sure he didn't even try to begin to enter the store. Legally, of course, he is allowed inside, but I wanted to make sure if he did, I would know. I heard him talking, but realized his earbuds were no longer plugged into his phone. As I said, it was the afternoon in the summer at a grocery store on a weekend, so there is a lot of noise and business, so there's no way that he would have been able to have a speakerphone conversation from that distance. He was also looking straight ahead to the parking lot and almost looked stuck as if he was focusing on something, but it was just a lot. This freaked me out, and my heart sank when he looked at me. I was still pretending to change the trash, but I felt his gaze on me and saw his head turn in my peripheral vision. I heard him talking and he began to get a little louder. At this point, he was definitely talking to himself. I heard him saying,
"You can't play me. Knock his ass out if you try something like that again. Try to play me? Get rocked, you feel me?"
And he just kept repeating,
"Can't do that,"
a few times. I don't think he was referring to me, as when I moved to go inside, he was still looking at the trash can. I waited inside and the man kept staring at the trash can. I went back inside to check on woman and Jess, and they were at the customer service. I still had to do my job and I was anxious that I would get in trouble if I did not get it done soon, since I was just tired. And I was trying really hard not to mess up and get fired or have any supervisors hate me. I left and changed the other trash in the store. Later in the day, I asked Jess about the situation, and evidently they did not call the police, probably because he was not doing anything that was actually illegal. When I checked if he was still there, he had left. I have not seen him again, and I hope he has gotten his life together, or has at least stopped scaring the residents in that apartment complex. This happened about a year and a half ago when I and my family had just moved here from very peaceful and a very rural hometown. I was finishing my day at school late 6 p.m.-ish, and the rain was pouring, so I ran to the public bus station, which was 4 blocks away from my school. When I got there, I was soaked, and there were no people around and there were no buses coming soon. I then got the great idea just to make signs at the next cab, so they would take me home. something no one should do in this city, as it is highly recommended to call a cab service and never get one on the streets, as it is very dangerous, as they usually commit many crimes and the criminal is almost never caught. Every cab that passed was full until one stopped in front of me and I got on. From the moment I stepped foot in that cab, I had a terrible gut feeling, and when I looked at the driver, I felt even less unsafe. His eyes were red, and his grin, as I got in, gave me an overall bad feeling. I told him where I was going without stating my full address, and he started driving, while stating that he loved colored women and that I looked exotic, as he put it. This was all he said for almost the whole ride. For the next 20 minutes, he stared at me in the mirror and turned around to look at my body every 2 minutes or so. He didn't mind getting caught. I was obviously uncomfortable, but decided to ignore it because I really just wanted to go home and take a warm shower. Now, I get to my house from the street we are on. He had to turn right on X Street, but when he stopped in front of it at a red light, he turned around, looked at me, and made the most terrifying smile that still haunts me to this day, before going to the complete opposite direction of my house, and going much faster than was allowed. While he drove, he still had the smile and was looking at me more than the road. I started telling him that he was going the wrong way and to please slow down, and he just kept smiling and staring. I kept on trying to stay calm and convince him to let me out, as all the doors were locked. I started panicking more and more, and raising my voice to the point of screaming at him as loudly as I could, as where we were entering was a very dangerous neighborhood. My parents had always warned me about it. I started crying as I screamed, and he was seemingly getting stressed by me, so I kept going until he stopped the car, shouted at me, and grabbed my wrist to make me take a look at him. He told me to get the heck out of here and pay him an excessive amount of money, which I did because I was too scared to speak at that point. It was dark now, and I was in a really bad neighborhood, so I started walking away really fast in the direction of my house, when I heard him scream at me,
"Wait, come back here."
And at that point, my mind went blank, and the only thing I remember was running as fast as I could, and then crying at home in the shower. Since then, I refuse to take street cabs, and always call taxis or use Uber. I still think often about what would have happened if I hadn't kept trying to stress him, or, I don't know. I just get really scatterbrained trying to tell this story because of how terrifying it was. This happened a couple of years ago when I was living abroad. I had just got off the night shift and was waiting at the bus stop at around 6 a.m. It was just starting to get bright out, and the area I worked in was the party city in this country, so it was pretty crowded with people just finishing their nights out. I noticed a girl who was pretty drunk sitting at the door of the shop beside the bus stop. Some guy was with her and his arm was around her shoulders, but I could tell something wasn't right. But to anyone passing by and not paying attention, they easily could pass as a couple. I tried to act casual and sat beside them and pretended to be looking at my phone while I tried to assess the situation. He nodded at me and tightened his grip on her and started to whisper in her ear. The girl looked really uncomfortable, but she was also too drunk to actually move away or say anything. She was heavily slurring her words. This went on for a couple of more minutes. He was whispering in her ear and constantly surveying the area, smiling to himself that nobody seemed to have noticed. I had about 4 minutes until the bus came, and the bad feeling in my stomach was growing worse, so I said, "Screw it. I need to do something now." I leaned over to the girl and said, "Is this your boyfriend?" The man stared me down and said yes, but I ignored his glare and asked the girl again. She started crying and shook her head no. I asked her if she knew him or ever met him. Again, she shook her head no. The man became visibly frustrated and insisted they knew each other. I asked the girl if she was going to my area. She nodded yes. I told her I would bring her there and lifted her up. At this point, the dude rolled his eyes and started cursing at me. I held his gaze but was terrified on the inside in case he got on the bus and followed us. Thankfully, when the bus pulled up, he just turned and walked away. I'm guessing this was because a few people were now waiting to get on, and he didn't want to cause a scene. I sat beside the girl on the bus, which was about a 20-minute ride. She was still quite drunk and slurring her words at this stage, but from what I could piece together, she had lost her friends and her phone died, and this man started talking to her when she left the club to find them. He kept insisting on bringing her to his house. When we got to our stop, I walked her to her home and made sure she got in okay. She asked me to take her number so she could talk to me when she was sober. We chatted a few times since that, but she said she was extremely thankful I had noticed something was up. When she left the club, she was stumbling, and this guy apparently came out of nowhere and started offering to help her, putting his arm around her so she could walk, etc. He was telling her things like he was going to take her back to his house and have fun with her. She said she was terrified but too drunk to get the words to call out for help. When I had sat beside them, he was whispering in her ear to shut up and not say anything. It's also worth noting that this guy was 100% sober, and this wasn't just a drunk person trying to get an easy hookup. The place this happened in is a party city, as I said, so unfortunately it is likely that this kind of thing happens all the time and a lot of guys could be getting away with this type of behavior. If you are ever in a situation like this and you feel like you can help somebody in distress, please don't hesitate. If you don't feel comfortable approaching someone yourself, you could always call the cops as well. If you are a victim in this situation, do your best to call out to a passerby for help. Always be aware of your surroundings and be safe. Make sure your friends and family know exactly where you are and who you are with. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true stories sent in by viewers just like you. I don't know what I would do if I ever got in a situation with a stalker or somebody who just wasn't respecting my space or trying to lure me into his house to do some unspeakable things. Honestly, it terrifies me. These everyday stories are definitely a little bit different from what I normally cover on the channel, but they have this sort of realism and extra scariness to them. I don't even know how to explain it, but I enjoy them. It's a nice, new breath of fresh air. Anyways, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours will help keep this show going. If you enjoyed my good friend Night Docs, who read story number 2, which was actually his own personal story, be sure to go subscribe to his channel. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and pretty much every other major podcasting platform you can find out there. Thanks guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I know I've been a little bit slow on videos recently, even though it doesn't look like it. I've just been kind of lagging, working on the second channel a little bit, and just trying to, relax. I don't know. My New Year's resolution has kind of been more of a thing of just, taking it easy, not trying to overwork myself like I've been doing the past couple of years. So, hopefully, it doesn't really show too much. But anyways, today's code word is duck feet. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.